It's Christmas, if you didn't know that. If you've had a baby, and by that I mean you've been pregnant and had a baby, I can almost guarantee you that you can remember exactly where you were and exactly what you were doing when all of a sudden you said, I think it's time. Amen? I remember how I felt when it was time. I really do. We went out and we said, yeah, this is going to be it. And you get your stuff together, you go out and you get some sandwiches, and you head off to the hospital. Then you come back and get your wife, and then you go. But you remember it. Now, something is going to happen in a very short time. And it could have been, some laborers go for 24 hours. Some were delivered on the way to the hospital. We had a woman in the church years ago. She said she was going to name her son Carson because she had him in the car. And in a very short time, you knew that your life was going to be changed forever. Now, you could go to classes and you could read a lot of books and you could have babysat for a lot of kids, but regardless of all those things, even if you are very well prepared, you knew that your life was going to be forever changed. Now, so it was with the birth of any child. Any child's going to change. Even when you have two come at a time or three come at a time or whatever, it's always going to change. Even if you have a lot of children, another child will always change your life. And so it is with every child, but most especially with this one particular child born in Bethlehem. Now, I always wondered what the shepherds did afterwards. We know that they went out of there praising God, but I'm wondering if 30 years later, when Jesus was walking this earth and started his ministry, if part of the crowd that gathered around him were people who had heard from Grandpa the shepherd, or Father shepherd, whatever, or the neighbor shepherd who was there and said, let me tell you what happened about this little boy named Jesus years ago and all the angels. So I'm just wondering if that helped with the crowds. But this one baby was born. And not only did he change the lives of his parents, and by the way, none of us in this room have ever had, I imagine, never had at the hospital room come in a bunch of shepherds and then start glorifying God because of the kid that you just had. Or a whole bunch of magi that would come with all of their camels and come to your house years after your child was born and talk to you. It's going to change them forever. And it changed Mary and Joseph. But not only did it change those parents, the birth of Jesus changed the world forever. In fact, it changed the way history is recorded. You know that, right? B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So from the birth of Christ, time goes backwards and forwards, marking that as the beginning. Now, the interesting thing is that, I went to Rutgers and all the science and all the history stuff was done in a little different. When I first saw it, I didn't know what was going on there. They had the BCE and CE, right? Before the Common Era and the Common Era, CE, as if that's a big deal. We don't want to say Christ. We don't want to say he's the Messiah, so we'll call it Common Era. The problem with trying to escape it is it still goes back to the birth of Christ. They can't escape it. Okay, where was the BCE ending, and where does the CE start? With Jesus. You see, it changes all of human history. Now, I'm a morning person. I love the mornings. I love the crispness of the air. I love the solitude. I love the calm before the storm. I love being up early. I love starting my day. If I sleep until 8 o'clock, I think half my day is gone. I like being up early. I go to bed kind of early. I'm kind of wasted at the end of the day. I love the morning, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of things that happen in the scriptures in the morning. And I believe that Jesus was born in the morning. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But a lot of things happen. We know that God's mercies are new. What? Every morning. We know that first resurrection day, it was early in the morning that the ladies went to the tomb. We also know, if you've read this, that it was early in the morning that the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, condemned Jesus to death. Early in the morning, Jesus gets up and goes off to pray and spend time in the presence of the Lord. A lot of things happen early in the morning, and I believe Jesus was born in the morning. The Bible talks about Joseph taking his betrothed wife and trying to find a place for her. And they go from place to place, and now it's getting late at night, and they don't have any place, so they have to go into this stable. I'm sure they've exhausted the daylight hours, and now it's evening. But she hasn't gone into labor yet. So there's still some time, and then she goes into labor, and we know that that usually takes some time. And so I think it goes into the next morning. And we know that the shepherds are being told something. So I just want to talk to you about what happened in the morning or thereabouts, some 2016 years ago or thereabouts, that changed the world. Would you pray with me, and then we'll get right into it. Loving Father, we thank you for this day, this Christmas day. Regardless of the exact day when our Savior was born, we celebrate worldwide your gift to us. That birth that changed human history, that changes lives even today. Father, I pray that every person in this room would have an encounter with Jesus. One that changes them, not just for all their lives, but for all eternity. I pray that you would meet us here, Lord Jesus. You said that you'd be where people are gathered in your name. We have gathered in your name, Jesus, and we pray you would be obvious. And now, Father, as we consider this day when you sent your Son, I pray that we would listen intently to what you would have to tell our hearts. I pray that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. And that you would protect all of us from having any of our flesh creep into this time once again. And may you be glorified in this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some messages that I have heard, and they've been good ones, about the birth of Jesus, kind of talk about what would have happened if Jesus didn't come. And that's an interesting perspective. I don't know what all the things that wouldn't happen or all the things that would have happened if he didn't come. But I'd like to talk to you today about what has happened because he came. That morning that changed the world, the morning that changes everything, the morning that changed you. Now, never before has a birth been heralded by the hosts of heaven. Never before. Not my birth, not your birth, no birth. Not even the very first child ever born. Which seems like a pretty spectacular thing. This is the first child, Cain, to be born. Wouldn't the angels be excited about that? Well, the Bible says that Adam lay with his wife and she conceived and bore a son. His name was Cain. Big deal. That's it. That's the hoopla. But never before and never since has there been such a heralding, such an announcement of the birth of anyone. So I want to talk to you today a little bit about that. Would you go back in your Bibles? First of all, hold them up in the air. Thanks for bringing them with you. If you didn't bring your Bibles with you, we want to invite you to take a Bible from the pew in front of you. And I'm going to highlight just a few verses that our brother read to us this morning from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 8, so I don't have to say that king's name or that governor's name. Starting with verse 8. Luke writes, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The angel, just one at the time, comes, and then the hosts join with him, comes, and the glory of the Lord shines around him, and he says something to a terrified group of shepherds absolutely surprised by this. He said, don't be afraid, because I've got great news. Good news, which will be for all people groups. For unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. So I want to talk to you about the things that have happened because of that day. The birth of a Savior. This name, this significant title. That which the angel told Joseph when he came to explain things about Mary to him. He said, take Mary as your wife, because what is in her is of the Holy Spirit, and he shall be called the Son of God. He is going to be the Savior of the world. You're going to name him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, deliverance, salvation, for he's going to save the people of the world. And this is going to be for all people everywhere. And we see in the book of Revelation that every people group, some from every people group, get saved. John says in that book, he says, I saw before the altar people from every tribe and language and nation and tongue, and they were praising the Lord. So we know that people from all over the world are going to be saved by a Savior. And by the way, that includes you and me. We need to have a Savior. Amen? All right, let's say that a little louder. We need a Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I hope that you can say it. The older you are, hopefully you can say that all the more, because you've lived a life of struggles and sometimes defeat, sometimes successes. But the bottom line is you start to recognize who you are. There are some people, if you ask them, are you a sinner? Have you ever sinned? Let's put it that way. They'll say no. They don't grasp the concept. But every single person who has ever walked this planet is a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And for those of you who may contest that, even Mary, who is touted as a sinless mom, was a sinner. She said so herself. In that great Magnificat, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my heart rejoices in God my, what? Savior. See, we all need a Savior. But praise the Lord that that day, a Savior was born. And Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent or gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. See, there's a Savior that was born. What hope?
What amazing hope.
Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we have hope. The second thing I want to highlight is this, and this I think is powerful. Because of Jesus being born on this earth, for the first time ever, we were able to see the face of God. Now, that may not blow you away, but this is the God of the universe that the whole universe cannot contain. And he came in the flesh. God came in the flesh. Jesus, a part of the triune deity, the collective unity, the Trinity, came in human flesh so that we might see the face of God. You see, no one up until this point had ever seen God. They had seen his legs. They had seen his back. He had spoken to him face to face to Moses. But he'd never seen his face. In fact, Jesus said, no one has ever seen the Father except me, the Son. But when he came, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, there's such power in the fact that Jesus was born and came on this earth, and he showed us who the Father was. You see, Jesus is God in the flesh, and he was 100% man and 100% God. I know that's 200%, but try to deal with it. And he was tempted in all ways, like as we are, and yet without sin. You say, well, the reason he was able to conquer it was because he was God. No, he left all the trappings of deity that gave him an edge over us aside, so that, filled with the Holy Spirit, he could say to us, you can be sinless. You can conquer sin. You can have victory because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the same as I did. I was tempted in all ways like as you, yet without sin. Are you with me, church? Because he was born, we could know God tangibly. This is so important to me. I'm a tangible kind of guy. I'm an empirical kind of guy. I want to see things with my senses. I want to hear them. I want to smell them. I want to taste and touch. That's part of the scientist, I guess, to me. This whole idea that God came tangibly. They could see what God's heart was like. They could see him crying. God is crying at the tomb of Lazarus. They could see him happy. They could see him indignant when the disciples wouldn't let the little ones come up to him. They could see the heart of our God, as He was loving, as He was merciful, as He was just, as He was kind, as He was filled with rage in that temple. We could see what the heart of God looked like. No longer was God just talking to a bunch of prophets and a few individuals. Now He was presenting Himself to the world. Wouldn't you have loved to spend just a moment with Jesus? Do you recognize you would have been looking into the face of God? I don't think the disciples truly realized that, even when they said, "We know that You are the Son of the living God." The third thing I want to highlight, because Jesus was born, we could know about the kingdom of God. You know, our sister passed away. If we didn't have the birth of Jesus, we may not really know what happens to her. We have some ideas. In fact, just 2, 3, 4 times, I think it is, in all of the Old Testament, is the kingdom of God even mentioned. But when Jesus comes, it says that Jesus went about speaking of the kingdom of God and of repentance. He talked about this place that He had come from. No one had ever gone up into the kingdom except for the one who came down. John 3:13 says Jesus started telling us what heaven was like because He was there. He was telling us about this future place that was prepared for us from the foundation of the world, so that we might know where we go if we have a loving relationship with Him. And by the way, let me just pause for a second. It's if we have a loving relationship with Him. It's not if you believe in Him. It's not if you ask Him into your heart. It's if you have a loving relationship, which those things are a part of. Just to remind you, or to tell those of you who may never have been with us, Jesus said many people on that day are going to say, "Lord, Lord." He's going to say, "I never knew You. I never gnosis You. I never had an intimacy with You." People, in order to get into that kingdom prepared for His people from the foundation of the world, you have to have a loving relationship with Jesus. Please say amen. I hope you know that. That it's not about going to church. It's not about being here on Christmas or on Easter or any other day. It's not about being here 4 times a week. It's about loving the One who was born in Bethlehem. And He told us about a kingdom that had streets of gold, that has streets of gold, and gates of pearl. He tells us that we have a room in a mansion. I hope it has room for Civil War stuff. We have a room that Jesus is building for us. Some people call it a mansion, some people call it a room, but He's building a place for us in a kingdom that's been prepared already for us from the foundation of the world. He tells us about this banquet feast that's going to house at least one meal that we're going to eat together with Him for the first time since that time in the upper room, that Passover meal where you eat of the bread and drink of the cup again. Talks about this fellowship and the presence of the Lord and of trees and of animals. Tells us what the kingdom of God is like for the very first time because He came. This home that we're going to go to. So when we say goodbye to our loved ones, we can say, well, she's not just up in some kind of a spirit thing. She's not on a cloud with a harp. She is in a place called paradise waiting for the kingdom. A place where there is the garden of God, receiving a crown of righteousness. Jesus said all these things, and none of this would have been known to us if He hadn't been born on that day. Next thing. Because Jesus was born, we can know that we have been forgiven because of what happened subsequently, I know, of all our unrighteousness. Just below the surface, in the hearts of so many believers, there is a desire to die. You know that. Just below the surface, and we put on a facade, but there's a desire to say, Lord, I can't take this life anymore, and I can't take the guilt and the shame of my life anymore. We need to understand that Jesus was born to take all of our shame and all of our guilt and nail them to the cross so that we bear it no more. The Bible says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because He was born. If Jesus had never come, we would wonder if the atoning sacrifice done in the Holy of Holies once a year was sufficient. Would it have covered everything? But the Bible says that Jesus was born. He came, and he came to take on the sin of the world. And that's you and me. Please listen to me. Because I don't know how many of you listening to me today are just at that point. But you stand holy before God if you are in Christ. If you love the Lord Jesus, you stand holy. He sees you as his holy child. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church in Corinth, a bunch of messed up people. To those who are sanctified and called to be holy. I know we mess up. We're called to be holy and we're messing up sometimes. And we think that's how God sees us. But he doesn't see us that way. He sees us as holy. And he's making us into the image of his Son. So please don't let the enemy get a hold of you anymore. Don't let him take one more day of joy and victory from you. Because Jesus was born, you can be forgiven. The hopelessness and the despair, the guilt and the shame, and all of the mental, emotional, and physical dysfunction that comes from simply not grasping that because a Savior was born, he has come to save us from it. We've got to grasp it as a people, and I pray that you do. The next thing I want to share with you is this. Because Jesus came, we can have rest. I'm not a big one on rest, but praise God, it's because of that. Because Jesus came, we can have rest. And we can have, listen, we can have an anxiety-free life. Say, Pastor, I can't without meds. I'm not going to go there. But I do know this. I know that Jesus said that we don't need to be anxious about tomorrow. We don't need to be anxious about anything. But with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we make our request known before him. And the peace of God that transcends all human understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He says, don't be anxious. He says it to a bunch of people who are what? Anxious. He says, don't be afraid. Because I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. No matter what you're going through, you don't have to be anxious. Just cast your cares on me. And he says, if you're tired of this life, if you're just worn out and beaten up, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? More anxiety. No, he doesn't say that. I will give you rest. And I think that when Jesus gives us rest, there's a lifting, there's a breathing that doesn't happen without him. Because he came, we can know rest. We can know peace. We can know an anxious-free life, not worrying about tomorrow, because God's going to take care of us. And then lastly, because Jesus came, this is for those of you who have already made that commitment to follow Jesus, and those of you who are on the edge of doing that, and those who are contemplating it. Because Jesus came, those who call themselves Christians have a higher calling than the President of the United States. You have a higher calling, a greater commission than any king or emperor. You have the highest calling because you are ambassadors for God. You are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ as if God were making his appeal through you. You have a calling that you can change people's lives because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You have a life and a purpose greater than any other person on the planet because Jesus came. And he says, I want to use you to change people's lives. Amen? Because of Christmas, because of that day. He says, you're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. I give you this charge. I end with these words. What hopelessness there would be on this planet. What hopelessness if Jesus never came. But because he did, we have all the hope we could ever possibly imagine. You have it. Now it's time to give it away. Amen? Amen. Let me ask you something, one last thing. Those of you who have an enormous amount of gifts to go home to, have you also been very, very generous? I hope you have. You have been given enormous gifts, great gifts. You've been given Jesus. Would you start giving him away? Amen. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this precious time together in your presence. We thank you that you loved us in such a way that you gave us Jesus, you gave us eternal life, you gave us your Holy Spirit, you give us gifts always. And Father, we thank you for, once again, the gift of life. Father, I don't know how you use a clay vessel like me with faulty lips to do your kingdom stuff, but I do pray that somehow you will have worked a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, that somehow their lives were touched by what you would have them know, that they would somehow be drawn closer into your presence, that they would know the peace that comes from that and the joy of being in the presence of the Lord. Father, as we leave this place, as life takes over again, I pray that, as our brother has already prayed this morning, that we would experience Christmas every day, the birth of a Savior, and that our hearts would be filled with joy because of that. Now, Father, if there is anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.